Welcome to The Extra, the show that connects you with the issues, topics, and people that are important to you. And today, our focus is going to be on an issue that affects 1 in 5 Americans. That's because studies show that number will have skin cancer sometime in their lifetime. But this is a cancer that is preventable and treatable, and there are innovations in skin cancer treatments that have been able to give patients the highest cure rate of all times. And among the treatments, Mohs micrographic surgery, or simply Mohs surgery, is considered the gold standard in removing skin cancer and saving lives. And this month, we celebrate the birthday of the dermatologist who developed this technique, Dr. Frederick Mohs. So joining us this morning on The Extra to talk about skin cancer treatment and prevention, we're so pleased to have with us Renata Prado, dermatologist and fellowship-trained Mohs surgeon. First of all, good morning and welcome to the show.
Good morning, Shannon. Thank you so much for having me.
You are a Mohs surgeon. Let's tell everyone who's listening about the role of a Mohs surgeon in the treatment of skin cancer.
So, Shannon, the Mohs surgeon is, as you said, a skin cancer surgeon. So Mohs is for skin cancers, but it's not for any skin cancer. The Mohs surgeon plays a vital role in the treatment of aggressive skin cancers, large skin cancers anywhere in the body, or skin cancers that happen in areas that are cosmetically sensitive or areas that you really need to preserve as much tissue as possible, such as the face, also the scalp, the neck, hands, and feet. So, and Mohs is also indicated for recurrent skin cancer. So a specific type of skin cancer, usually more aggressive, sensitive areas, or large cancers.
What makes Mohs micrographic surgery different from other surgical treatments?
So Mohs micrographic surgery is very unique, mainly because of the way that the tissue that's removed is examined under the microscope. That's what makes Mohs so unique. The tissue is removed and 100% of the margin is evaluated. And interestingly, the Mohs surgeon, the person who removes the cancer, is able to immediately take that tissue to the lab, examine it under the microscope, make sure there are no residual tumor, or if there is, we know exactly where it is. Even if the cancer is not visible on the by the naked eye, we microscopically can tell exactly where the cancer is. And that same physician who is the surgeon is also, like I said, the pathologist, the one looking under the microscope, and is the one who's coming back to the patient to remove the residual cancer. So that fact just really gives an excellent surgical pathological correlation. And that's what gives this procedure such high cure rate. It's the highest cure rate for treatment of skin cancer. And because Mohs examines the tissue in real time, like I said, we are able to really remove very minimal amounts of normal tissue and get clear margin that way, giving the patient the smallest possible scar, really the best cosmetic outcome. So that's the difference of Mohs. That's what makes it so unique.
You talk about getting those clear margins. Is that like looking for the edges of the cancerous growth and making sure you're just only getting the edges and not anything more?
Exactly. So when the tissue is removed, we remove the cancer and we take a very small rim of what seems to be normal tissue around the cancer. And that rim, both all the way around and under, is what's evaluated under the microscope. And that whole margin, 100% of the margin, again, all the perimeter, all the undersurface, needs to be clear for the cancer to be considered cured.
Is Mohs done in the office? It sounds pretty complicated. And why don't you step everyone through every moment of the procedure when this Mohs surgery is performed?
Yeah, so Shannon, Mohs is a very safe procedure in ways that it's performed in the office under local anesthesia. The patient is awake. There's no need for fasting. The patient just comes. They take all their medications that they were taking before. So it's an in-office procedure. So a little bit of step-by-step how it's performed. Mainly, the area that we're going to treat is cleaned. We numb it. And then we remove the skin cancer with that little rim of normal skin around it, like I said. And the tissue is then taken to the Mohs lab. The patient just gets a little temporary bandage and will wait for me to get the tissue processed and analyzed in the office. And that may take anywhere from 20 minutes, sometimes up to an hour. And during that time, the patient just comfortably waiting. You know, we ask them to bring a book, bring someone to make them company. But in the meantime, the tissue goes to the lab. And in the lab, the tissue is then grossed, inked, frozen. We cut them in impossibly thin sections and place them on glass slides. Those slides are stained. And all that lab process is done by a professional called a histotechnician. And that the histotechnician then will give me the slides, and I'll be the one sitting under the microscope and looking and evaluating 100% of the margins. If the margins are negative, that means that the cancer has been fully removed. And at that point, we are ready just to put stitches and close the wound. If the margins are positive, then we need to take additional tissue, and we know exactly where to go back. We just go at the exact location where the cancer is present because all the process is microscopically guided. This way, I really don't need to take excessive amounts of healthy tissue. Only the cancer is removed, and that really gives the best outcome because it gives smallest possible wound, smallest possible scar. And then at that point, once the patient is negative, like I said, then the patient gets some stitches and is able to go home.
Well, it sounds fascinating, and what a technique that was developed. And when we come back, we're going to be talking more about the dermatologist who developed this, who lends his name to the Mohs micrographic surgery. That's when The Extra continues. You're listening to KRDO News Radio. Welcome back to The Extra, and we're focusing today on ways that you can keep your skin healthy and maintain your health, even when there is perhaps the potential or an instance of skin cancer. And so we're talking about Mohs surgery, Mohs micrographic surgery, with Dr. Renata Prado of Vanguard Skin. And she joins us now on the KRDO Newsline. So this Mohs surgery, as I understand, Doctor, was created by Dr. Frederick Mohs, and it's also because this is his birthday month. March is a milestone month for Mohs surgeons like yourself, because this month marks Dr. Frederick Mohs' 114th birthday, what would have been. But how long has this surgery been around?
Shannon, Dr. Mohs started treating patients with this procedure in the 1930s. He was at the Wisconsin General Hospital in Madison, Wisconsin. And it's we think that the first procedure that he treated with Mohs technique in a patient was in 1936. But the procedure has really greatly evolved since then. He the way that he envisioned this whole technique of evaluating 100% of the margins, that persists. But the technique itself has been greatly refined to a very elegant procedure that it is today.
Well, let's talk about this. How has the procedure evolved and changed into what we experience currently?
Well, initially, Dr. Mohs, he used a zinc chloride paste for fixation of the tissue. But that paste was applied to the patient itself, so the tissue was fixed in the live patient. And the tissue fixation could take hours or even days, depending on how well the paste penetrated on the sample. And only after the tissue was fixed, the Dr. Mohs would then excise the tissue and proceed with the examination. And because of that technique, that was the initial Mohs procedure, that was actually called chemosurgery. But the problem with that is, first, it would take a lot longer. No repair or reconstruction, that's when we put stitches and close the wound. That could not be done that day because the tissue was fixed. It had to be either done at a later date, or back then it was actually not done at all. Most surgeries would just heal on their own, most of the wounds. But then what really changed from that technique to what it is today was that it's known that in 1953, Dr. Mohs accidentally performed a fresh tissue excision on a lower eyelid. And then he was really surprised with very good results. And years later, actually in 1970, one of his students, Dr. Tromovich, which is well known in the dermatology field, he published a paper just doing this technique with fresh tissue, which is the way we do today. We don't use that paste that Dr. Mohs used to do. We don't do the fixation in vivo like he used to do. We use fresh tissue, meaning we remove the tissue and then process in the lab. And that was such a crucial change because now patients could have surgeries done in one day, which is how we do today, and a lot less painful with a tremendous amount of benefit from the reconstruction and the stitching technique that we have then developed to be able to close those wounds in the best cosmetic way possible. So that technique has changed, you know, significantly. But the truth is, the brilliant vision that Dr. Mohs had to completely change how things were done at the time and remove tumors that with complete margin, that remains pretty much the defining characteristic of Mohs to this day.
Was the procedure an instant hit back in the 1930s when Dr. Mohs presented it, or did it take some convincing of his colleagues and patients?
Shannon, Dr. Mohs' life is so interesting. It really should be made into a movie because it's such an inspiring example of failure, persistence, resilience. I mean, it's like amazing because his technique was very heavily criticized, even though he had a lot of effectiveness. It was faced with just great skepticism. First of all, the surgeons back then did not believe in the use of that chemo paste. They just felt it was ineffective or dangerous for the patient. So actually in early years, Dr. Mohs was only allowed to use this technique on selected patients with extremely advanced cancers that were actually considered incurable. And despite of this, hopelessness of those cases, that those very large cancers that had nowhere else to go, Dr. Mohs actually cured most of them with his technique. So finally, with time, he gained more acceptance. And it really was that transition to fresh tissue that made more surgeons believe and agree with it. Dr. Mohs was extremely methodic. He collected all his data and presenting the data showing how he could get such high cure rates and with such a technique that would really look at margins, that eventually changed the perception of other surgeons and made Mohs an acceptable procedure to what it is today, considered the gold standard treatment for skin cancers.
Yeah, certainly success will do that. We'll change minds. We need to take a break right here. Dr. Renata Prado is our guest, and we're talking about Mohs micrographic surgery because the namesake, Dr. Mohs, the dermatologist who first developed this technique, although it has evolved, as she was explaining, it is his birthday month. He would have celebrated 114 years old on March 1st. Of course, he didn't live that long, unfortunately, but definitely what a contribution he has made to the field of health sciences. We need to take a break here. Dr. Prado will continue. If you'd like to talk with any of the staff at Vanguard Skin about some of the issues we've been discussing, you can head on over to vanguardskin.com. It's VanguardSkin.com to find out more. We need to take a break. We're back after the bottom of the hour. We're back with Dr. Renata Prado, our guest today, who's been talking to us about skin cancer and specifically the treatment that's known as Mohs micrographic surgery for people who are diagnosed with skin cancer. So we were talking about this, and it is a technique that involves many steps and many, evaluations along the way. Can all dermatologists perform Mohs surgery, or is there special training or advanced learning that's needed?
So we do a 1 to 2 years. There are some programs that are 2 years. Most programs are 1 year fellowship after the 3-year dermatology residency. And that fellowship is done with a Mohs surgeon in a program that is approved by the American College of Mohs Surgery. And if you do that fellowship, you are learning, you know, not only the surgical technique, but the pathology, the microscope evaluation, how to identify the cancers under the microscope, the different numbers of cancers under the microscope. And you also trained in reconstruction, which is what patients, you know, call the plastic surgery after the surgery is done to put stitches and give the best cosmetic outcome. When you do this fellowship, then you become a member of the American College of Mohs Surgery, and then you are allowed to take a board certification examination. And at that point, you are recognized as a board-certified, fellowship-trained Mohs surgeon. So it does require additional training,
I'd say, and additional examination. So, but it's good to know patients that are in good hands if they have that training and certification. So other than Mohs surgery, what other treatments are out there for someone who's been diagnosed with skin cancer?
Yeah, no, exactly, Shannon. So Mohs is not for every single skin cancer. In fact, there's a number of skin cancers that don't need Mohs surgery. They can be treated very effectively with other treatment modalities. So if you go to your dermatologist and you are diagnosed with a skin cancer, your dermatologist is going to find out after the biopsy what type of skin cancer you have, the histological subtype. So under the microscope, name skin cancer, they can have different histological subtypes. That means some are more aggressive than others. The dermatologist will take that into account, will take into account the location in your body of that skin cancer and the size of the skin cancer. So with all this together, they will make then a decision on what is the best treatment for that specific skin cancer. So very early, very superficial skin cancers, some of them can even be treated with topical creams. Techniques with the freezing, with the liquid nitrogen that, you know, so if you go to a dermatologist and you see that little canister that they spray a little cold spray on you, that's liquid nitrogen and it freezes the skin. Sometimes a technique called scraping and cauterizing can treat skin cancers. Most of the time, surgery is the treatment of choice, either just a regular surgical excision, or we talked about Mohs micrographic surgery. But cancers that are more advanced or sometimes even metastasized, they may need different types of treatments such as chemotherapy, immunotherapy, radiation has a role in treatments of some skin cancers. So there is a large variety of options of treatments. Again, yeah, your dermatologist, considering all those factors, will choose the very best for that specific skin cancer.
All right. So, Dr. Prado, as we continue on just exploring the topic of skin cancers, what happens if you don't treat a skin cancer?
So most skin cancers, like we talked about, they are treatable and they are curable. And your best outcome is always when the diagnosis is early and when it's treated. But a lot of patients come to me and they ask, what if I don't treat this? Well, skin cancers will continue to enlarge, and eventually they can progress into a spot that scabs, that bleeds, that just keeps scabbing and bleeding and never healing. And eventually the tumor, which starts on the skin, starts to invade underlying tissues, such as the muscle, the cartilage, even bone. And some skin cancers are capable of pretty extensive tissue destruction. So again, the local treatment for skin cancer will definitely give the best, the earlier the better, for better not only cure rates, but also cosmetic outcome. And unfortunately, if you delay the treatment of some skin cancers, that can also be associated with metastasis and even death.
That sounds like something where you better pay attention to something like this. Otherwise, potentially face the consequences can be so dire. How do we recognize skin cancers? I mean, like, I have a mole, don't know whether it's, you know, questionable, not questionable. What would you say? How should we get, what should we do to raise it to that level where we should see a professional?
Sure. So skin cancer is actually one of the easiest cancers to diagnose because it happens where you can see it. So different skin cancers may present in different ways, Jim. So some cancers present with a growing, bleeding, scabbing, red little spot on your body like I talked. Some are scaly. Some are a little painful. Some do not have any pain at all. Anything that's changing color, changing shape, increasing in size, just not healing, or any of those symptoms I talked to you about, you should see your dermatologist. The dermatologist is trying to look at your skin, and a lot of times those spots may look the same to someone who doesn't have the trained eyes, but the dermatologist is able to really say which ones look suspicious and will deserve a biopsy versus the ones that are benign. So I do recommend that if you have something that's doing all those symptoms, go see your dermatologist or just go and see your dermatologist for a full check.
Dr. Renata Prado is our guest today with Vanguard Skin. We need to take a break here. When we come back, we're going to be talking about the causes of skin cancer as we mark the month of the birth of Dr. Frederick Mohs, the dermatologist who created what has turned out to be a groundbreaking surgery technique known as Mohs micrographic surgery. That's when the extra continues. Keep on listening to KRDO News Radio. We're back with our final segment and Dr. Renata Prado of Vanguard Skin. Again, their website is vanguardskin.com. So glad that you were able to join us today, Dr. Prado. Let's talk about skin cancer. I mean, what causes skin cancer? And I'm going to guess one thing is exposure to the sun.
Yes, and that's the main cause, exposure to ultraviolet radiation. It could be the sun, a natural source of ultraviolet radiation, but also non-natural sources, I guess, artificial sources, which would be a tanning bed. That's the number one cause of skin cancer. And we know the cause, we know how to prevent it. So we should be able to really be able to decrease the number of skin cancers that we get.
And that's because, I mean, we all have access to, SPF sunscreen and hats and long sleeve shirts and the ability to avoid going out and spending as much time in the sun. But some people who have skin cancer sometimes ask, why am I getting skin cancer if I don't lay out? What are the answers to that?
Yeah, so that happens a lot. As you know, as a Mohs surgeon, I see, skin cancer every day. And a lot of my patients are in their 60s, in their 70s, and they say, gosh, I don't lay out in the sun. Why am I getting a skin cancer now? The answer to that is two things. One, remember, the ultraviolet radiation is cumulative, and it accumulates throughout one's life. And skin cancer is caused by the DNA mutation on skin cells that have been exposed to ultraviolet radiation. And that radiation, like I said, accumulates. So it's not the sun from last weekend that's causing this the skin cancer. It's the sun from a whole lifetime. And when I say that, patients often say, oh, yeah, when I was a teenager, for all my 20s and 30s, I used to tan, and then they remember that they actually had a heavy sun exposure throughout their lives. Another thing that I tell patients is, remember, the biggest amount of radiation that you are actually exposed to is not that last vacation to the beach or something like that. It's the everyday, daily activity. You're driving to work, you're walking your dog, watching a baseball game, going to check your mail, going on a hike. I mean, in Colorado, we love to be outdoors. Every day, day by day, for years, that accumulates, and that total sun exposure and total radiation exposure will add up and potentially cause skin cancer. So that's why we recommend daily sun protection, not just when you go to the beach, but everyday sun protection.
And so here in Colorado, I mean, should we think of sunscreen as just a summer thing? I mean, we have so many very bright, sunny winter days.
Exactly. In Colorado, we you have, you know, a whole year of sunshine. Also, we are at higher altitude, and we love to be outdoors. We like to really enjoy this beautiful state, all four seasons. So here in Colorado, we do have a greater incidence of skin cancer. And I highly recommend sun protection in all seasons, rain or shine, in a cloudy day, snowy day, you're still getting radiation through the clouds. You still should be protecting yourself with, like you said, sun protective clothing in areas that cannot be covered with sunscreen.
All right. And of course, that goes for skiing as well. We all know people, including, well, yours truly, who get those sunburns when they forget up on the slope. So definitely something to watch. So we know that skin cancer can be prevented through these measures, through sunscreen and covering up. And it can be treatable if caught in the early stages. What other recommendations do you have for listeners in preventing skin cancer?
These are the daily sun protection, I think, is my main point in getting an annual, for prevention, daily sun protection, and making sure that even on days that you don't feel like you're going to get a sunburn, remember in Colorado, you get sun, most days of the year. For anyone, I actually do recommend getting your skin checked. Because skin cancer is treatable and curable, especially when caught early. So visit your dermatologist, have a full body check annually. For patients who have a history of skin cancer or a family history of skin cancer, we do recommend sometimes a little more frequent than that, sometimes twice a year, or even more frequent depending on the situation. But having a skin check is the best way to also diagnose a spot that you weren't aware of, your full body's checked, areas that you can't see, like the back of your ears, your back, your scalp. So that will allow, if you do have something, to be diagnosed and treated as soon as possible.
And Dr. Renata Prado, is it too late? If people are listening to this, is it too late for us to start applying sunscreen? I mean, if we've gone, many years, maybe been unwise in exposing our skin to sun?
No, it's never too late to start protecting your skin, even if you already had a lot of sun damage on your skin. Protecting your skin will reduce further damage and will hopefully reduce the number of skin cancers that you could potentially have in the future. Sun protection, Shannon, is one of those investments that really pay off on the long run, because you put sunscreen today, it really doesn't do anything for you. You put it tomorrow, you don't notice any difference. You put it, for a whole week, and really seems like you're wasting your time. But you put it every day, day in, day out, for 5 years, that's when you notice that you're going to make a big difference, not only on the health of your skin, but on your incidence of skin cancer. So this is something that it really pays off in the long run.
All right. Well, Dr. Renata Prado, it's wonderful to spend some time with you and really dig deep into this message of prevention of skin cancer and ways that we can all do it. And hopefully find some person out there who's listening, whose life will be saved and changed by the information you presented. So again, Dr. Renata Prado is a board certified dermatologist and fellowship trained and board certified Mohs surgeon. And this month we're marking the birthday month of Dr. Frederick Mohs, who invented this technique, the Mohs micrographic surgery technique, and certainly has really, I guess, expanded the ways in which skin cancer can be treated and patients saved. So I think I'm going to toast him when I go home today, maybe with a glass of milk and a cupcake or something. So happy birthday to the late Dr. Mohs. Dr. Prado, thank you for joining us here on KRDO News Radio.
Thank you so much, Shannon. And if I may add one thing, I just want to really appreciate the fact that you're allowing me to talk to your listeners. And in fact, a few years back, I was here with you and talked about skin cancer. And one of my dear patients actually was listening to your show and heard the interview. And he came literally the next day. He called and he came the next day and said, "Oh, I just heard you on the radio yesterday." And that day we actually found the melanoma, and that was life saving for him. So I just want to let you know that you really touch patients in people's lives with this amazing way of sharing information. So I really want to thank you for that.
Oh, that just warms my heart. I'm so glad that that person, that listener, decided to act on the information that we were able to convey. Dr. Prado, can't say enough about you. VanguardSkin.com is the website where you can find out more about their services and schedule an appointment. You've been listening to The Extra here on KRDO News Radio.